Hi there. Welcome to Big Jim's Garage on the B-Pod Studios Network. So the Bullet is gone. The Bullet Mustang went up last Friday. Ken Langenfelter on the phone, Langenfelter Collection. Hi, Ken. How are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, Jim. I'm doing just great.
So you were there last Friday in Kissimmee. What was the vibe like when the Bullet went up for sale?
You know, I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it. They hold the auction in a big arena out at the fairgrounds there, and it was so full of people. I'm actually a little surprised, to be honest with you, because I think a fire marshal would have gone through the ceiling. But it was standing room only. The car itself, people kind of chased it into the arena as it came up to the block. It was I had front row seats. Dana Meekum takes pretty good care of me, and so I had a real good shot at it, but there were so many people around, it's even hard for me to get a good look at the car. So, pretty amazing.
Ever cross your mind to even throw a bid at it?
No, it was out of my league. You know, we're running a business and two shops, and, you know, the car collection's mission is charity work. We do charity fundraisers there. It's not open to the public. So, you know, I'm pretty careful about what we spend our money on. Be very honest with you, I do my own Twitter, and I put a tweet up about the fact that the condition of this car was really, really bad. And I guess I would assume if you go to restore it, you probably ruin it that way too. So not the kind of car that I usually go after, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was in a $3.4 million, and then so really whoever bought it's paying what, 3.7, because they're paying a 10% as well?
You know, I'm not sure what the deal would have been. You know, Dana Meekum's has a pretty fair deal. Yeah, the buyer would have paid 10%. I'm guessing that the sellers didn't pay a dime. They probably, just let him take the car and run with it. And he got a lot of publicity over it.
It
was a good deal for him, I'm sure.
Well, I remember when Sean was here a couple of years ago in the Motor City, we actually had some time with him. We were on Woodward. And at the time, I know he was hoping that maybe it would show at the Henry Ford. But it was a family vehicle for so long. I'm kind of surprised he sold it, or maybe he just didn't want the stress that came with having that valuable of a vehicle in your possession.
Well, I think it could have been that, but if you would have seen the attention that whole thing was getting, you know, I would imagine it'd be difficult for the normal human being to avoid all that attention. You know, he got a real good opportunity to talk about the car a little bit prior to it crossing the block. And, you could tell he was enjoying any and all of that, as he should. I mean, it was a big deal. Yeah. It really was.
Yeah. I love it. What was the opening bid? 3,200?
It
was
35. No.
3,500. Because that's how much his dad paid for it.
Exactly.
Nice. Yep. Yeah. Is there, I was asked where Ken Langenfelter's with us here, where we're just talking about this. Is there another unicorn car out there like that? A car that just, I mean, the story and everything made it so amazing, which drove the price up, but obviously the value of it. Is there anything that off the top of your head, and I apologize for throwing this at you, but is there another unicorn car out there like that?
Boy, I don't know. I mean, you know, the whole aura of Steve McQueen, you know, the fact that he was driving that car through that through those San Francisco streets, it's pretty hard to think of something that maybe would be on par. But you raise an interesting question, Jim, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to search my brain the rest of today, and I'm going to call you back if I think about something. So nothing crosses my mind at this moment.
But. Well, I remember Big Red was one that they had talked about. It kind of popped up last year. That was one of the original mules for Shelby. But I haven't heard a thing about that since it turned up in a desert or something in Texas, and then it's just been kind of gone. But that was one of the two test platforms, right?
Yeah, it was. But once again, you know, there wasn't a movie made about it. And, you know, you don't see an actor like Steve McQueen, you know, driving through the streets of San Francisco. And there really was. I think this car deserved all the attention that it really got. I just, again, I've been getting, since I put that tweet up, I'm getting a lot of people responding to me saying, who got it? Who got it? And no one really knows, I don't think anyway, who bought the car because it was a phone bidder. So, and I don't know if we'll ever find out, to be honest with you.
Did you have any add anything to the collection when you were down in Kissimmee?
You know, I didn't. I was watching. I'm being real picky these days. I'm kind of out of room. And so if I buy something, I got to get rid of something. And there isn't anything I really want to get rid of. You know, we've got some new Corvettes arriving here shortly, and I want to leave a lot of room open for them, as you can probably imagine.
So the C8-1, as we're talking right now, the C8-1, the North American Car of the Year, the NACTOY Car of the Year, and then the Kia Telluride 1 SUV, and then the Gladiator 1 Truck of the Year.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Pretty cool, huh?
Do you look at the Gladiator like I do and go, that's just a plate? That's a play truck? This seems to me like there's 80,000 things that people can do with that. That thing's going to get so aftermarketed.
Yeah, I think it will as well. It's a pretty cool truck all in all. And, you know, I didn't really pay much attention to Kia until the Stinger came out. And that's a pretty cool car.
Fun to drive. Goes like hell. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sounds great. You can get it with all-wheel drive. It'd be pretty hard for me to buy one and drive it around town just because of my focus on, you know, we only work on General Motors products. So, you know, I've got a new Tahoe that I put a supercharger on, and that works just fine for me. But you know, the all-wheel drive feature and everything else, I'm told it's a really quality build. So I would imagine that's a pretty good truck.
I'm warming up to the C8. I will readily admit that I was a bit of a grouch when it first came out. And I think because mid-engine cars, you're kind of limited in some of the design. I mean, you can only do so much with the design because you got a motor right in the middle of it. But the more I see it and the more I look, I haven't been in one yet. I mean, but what's your take on the C8?
You know, Jim, as I think you know, I'm out at Barrett Jackson right now. And so last night they had their big gala. And they did it in the building where Chevrolet has their display. And, of course, I've gotten lots of opportunities to get real up and close with the new cars. But they had four of them out in the Chevy display, and they were getting all kinds of attention. Great colors. You know, there's like 12 color choices. The convertible was there as well. It is, from my perspective, it is absolutely stunning. But moreover, for General Motors, I think they really needed to start appealing to something more than bald gray guys like me. you know, I think they've done it. I really do. And then the price point. I mean, you know, back when they started working on this car, we knew that if we talked to General Motors employees and if they said anything back, they'd get themselves in a bunch of trouble. So I told our guys, I said, look, it's going to get here when it gets here. Let's not ask any questions of anybody because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. Let's just be surprised like everybody else was. But we had our own thought processes. We thought maybe they were going to build another, keep building the C7 in another assembly line at that same plant. And we thought the price was going to be north of $150K. But to build that car, to bring it out like they did, to set the price point as they did, I mean, I just think it's a home run tenfold, and it obviously really does deserve Car of the Year. That's for sure.
And it looks so good in white.
Well, I'm glad you say that because my Corvette colors are white with red.
I know that. In white, it just, the speed lines, I don't know, it just, you see more of the car with the white paint, but that's with any car. I mean, but in white, that car and that light blue they've done.
Oh, my gosh. Now, my wife got a yellow one. We ordered her a yellow one. And you know, these days, she's the racer in the family. She's been out to Corvette Racing School umpteen times. She's going back out in May again, and then she'll have an opportunity to get out and start driving the new C8 out there. So, but she's got yellow. We've got a black one coming as well because we're our official tire company is Continental Tire, and so we're going to build a car there to focus things on Continental, and we'll be taking that around on our rig, showing it off around the country this year. And then we've got several other cars. We'll have a development car that'll be in. And so, yeah, but I'm just a white Corvette guy. Always have been, always will be.
What's new from Ferrari? I know you have one of the most amazing Ferrari collections. Is there anything coming down the line from them?
You know, they've got some specialty vehicles that they've been bringing out. And, you know, the Monza came out not all that long ago. They've got several others that we keep hearing about. I'm kind of keeping my eyes open. I'd like to order a Tributo sometime in the first quarter because I think it's a car that I would drive. And that's the challenge with Ferraris for me right now. We've got some great Ferraris in the collection. They're great to see. but they sit in the showroom. And, you know, my Enzo, for example, I mean, it's got its original tires on it. And that's really the way you want to show it. But you don't dare take a car like that out, that valuable, for a ride with the original tires that were put on it in 2003, right?
Right.
So, you know, I'm really been focused more on the new cars. I think because of my relationship with Ferrari and the charity work we do with the collection, I know they do all the best they can to put things out in front of me and show me what's available. And, you know, if the stars line up and the dollars are where they need to be, you know, hopefully I can afford one of these new specialty cars that are coming out. But they're focused in the right direction as well.
You know, we were talking about famous cars. Obviously, it wouldn't pull the same amount of money that the Bull and Mustang did. But the Ferrari used in Magnum, I wonder whatever happened to that.
Yeah, boy, I wonder too. And that may be one of those cars that we were talking about. Maybe not quite the bullet car.
Right.
But yeah, I agree. Yeah, there's something out there. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to call you back because I think there's something in my brain back there. It doesn't work as quickly as it used 2 years ago. So I'll come up with something, Jim.
Do you remember a couple of years ago, and I maybe told, I don't think I'm wrong on the story, a guy in like New York or New Jersey, you know, they were cleaning out the storage units, and he found this white Lotus that was all sealed up. And it wound up being the car they used, the submersible car for James Bond in The Spy Who Loved Me.
I do remember that now.
Right? Yeah. And he had it and he put it up. And I don't think it went for, because the Aston Martin was like, what, $6 million or something? I still think that's the high watermark. But
yeah, it probably is. And that, boy, and what a famous car that is, huh?
Oh, and so. Just beautiful. And they keep, I love how they keep working it back in to the new movies and stuff.
Yeah. You know, on another note, and this may sound silly, but you know the station wagon they used in the Chevy Chase movie, Summer Vacation or something like
that?
Yeah,
Vacation, yeah. The family truckster. You think you hate it now, wait till you drive it. Yeah.
So last year at Bear Jackson, somebody had bought a wagon and did a replica of it. And I mean, this thing was, I mean, it was awfully ugly. I mean, for the movie and everything else, but it was making a point. Anyway, everybody thought, that's not worth anything. It brought $90,000.
Come on.
And, yeah, seriously. And it was a replica. This wasn't even the real movie car. I was walking through. I was coming back from the gala last night, and I saw another one in one of the tents to sell. Now, I don't know if it's the same car somebody's bringing back and trying to resell, or whether it's a someone else trying to do another replica car. But I'm going to check that out today. $90,000, though. It was a jaw dropper, let me tell you.
Are you thinking about it, though, if it was it was a little more reasonable?
No. Gosh, no. I mean, I love the movies, but that's just not my style.
Not your thing?
You know, I'm muscle cars, performance cars, and obviously Corvettes. And that's pretty much where I focus the collection.
Yeah, but you got that gremlin in the back that I'm in love with.
Hey, you know what? Earlier in the year, I got a call from Velocity Europe, and Supercar Blondie wanted to come by in February and spend a day filming at the collection, us driving around in a few of the cars in the collection. Maybe you don't know who she is. Maybe
I do. She has the most amazing – she's a must-follow. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and I had no idea who this gal was, so I'm thinking – I knew she was an influencer, so I'm thinking maybe she's going to show up with half her head shaved and her skateboard wanting to go through the collection or something. And boy, was I wrong. What a nice, very articulate young lady. And we had a blast. We did some filming. We drove around in the, in my ZR1. But in addition to that, as she's going through the collection, there's a LaFerrari there, there's the Enzo, you know, the Lamborghini Reventon, some really cool supercars. The car she fell in love with was that Levi Gremlin.
It's the coolest car.
Well, I keep hearing that, and I think so. But I also thought there'd be a number of people that thought I needed psychiatric help for having it as part of the collection, you know? So.
Hey, you know.
She was wonderful. So.
That's news to us, dude, that she was there. Yeah. She seems so genuinely happy when she's driving these supercars. Like she's really genuinely, you know what I mean? It's not like there's like, oh, I'm driving an Enzo or I'm driving a Lamborghini again, or I'm doing this. She seems to be genuinely happy when she gets behind the wheel of one of these cars.
No, you hit it right on the head, and she's a very sincere person, Jim. And that's what makes it for me. You know, the guys that walk around with their nose up in the air, I don't really care much for any of that. But she was very sincere. You know, we did a show this year, two shows this year with Bitchin' Rides, Dave Kindick, and another guy, nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. He and Kev Dog are wonderful. I understand the show just the first show just showed last week, and we had a blast with those guys. And those are the kinds of people I like to hang around with.
Okay, I'm going to ask you something, and I didn't throw this at you before we started. You can just tell me yes or no if we can talk about it.
Sure, of course.
The test pilots' Corvettes that you went out to get, and the strange story about them.
Well, I can't really talk too much about any of that. I do know that we've got two great Corvettes in the collection that belong to a couple of Northrop pilots. One is a 53. It's the only 53 supercharged Corvette. I understand they had two they built. No one knows where the other one. They used to call them the twins. So I think it's the only surviving one.
Wow.
And this guy's best friend owned a 63 split window Fuelie. And when my pilot friend of the 53 passed away, his best friend passed away not too long after that. And the wife of the best friend wanted to make sure that her husband's car was in the same collection that these two guys are friends. So we've got both cars in the collection.
That's such a cool story. That is such a cool story.
Well, and both of these guys, you know, really claim that they, through their career and what they did, that they saw the aliens out at Roswell, which, you know, I don't know. I think the person who told me the story second time had had a couple glasses of wine. So I'm just kind of thinking that maybe that might have had some influence in it too. I don't know. But they're both very cool cars, and I'm very proud to have them in the collection.
It's cool, though. And you get some of the most amazing backstories with cars. Didn't you have a car from, was it Nicolas Cage?
No, I had...
Keanu Reeves.
You know, I did actually have a Nicolas Cage car. You're right. We don't have it anymore.
Right. You had it for a little while. Yeah, you had one of those.
Yeah, exactly. It was a C2 Corvette. It was a black one. And, you know, he had some issues with the taxing guys. And, you know, they went in and grabbed a bunch of his cars at one point, and it got resold at an auction, and I bought it. He always claimed that he wanted it back. But there was somebody that went through the collection one time. I can't remember how long ago, and they just had to have it. And I'm sympathetic to that kind of thing. When I'm passionate about something, there have been a few guys that have sold me their cars that probably really didn't want to, but thought maybe I'd have a better home for them. So
you're out of Barrett Jackson out in Arizona. Is there anything on the agenda, like a must-see car for this one?
You know, there's a lot of great cars here. There always are. I'm going to get my first real strong look at everything that's on the docket. I did see last night a whole big group of Ford GTs, old ones and a couple of new ones. And I finally did get selected by Ford to get one. So I'm going to be looking at trying to decide what color I order it in. They send you a note saying, yes, you've been selected, and a concierge will be in touch with you, and we'll build your car sometime in 2020. So I'm expecting I'm going to hear from them shortly. But there were some great Ford GTs. The gentleman that passed away that was in Fast and Furious.
I know you're talking about. Yeah. Some of his collection.
Yeah. His collection is all here. They're going to sell those off, a bunch of BMWs and things, and there's some pretty cool cars in that group, so we'll see.
Ken, I came up with one.
Yep.
We're talking about unicorn cars. One of the Porsches that Steve McQueen drove in Le Mans.
Now that might be a good one. You're right.
Because then they made like fake ones for it. There's a whole backstory about how they had to film that movie, but there were real ones that he drove. Wow. Well, I wonder.
Yeah,
I wonder if they'd even hold up after all these years. I mean, they were just fiberglass and a tubular frame. There wasn't that much to them.
No, there really wasn't. You know, that was supposed to be kind of the cheap end of the Porsche that they were building back in those days. So they didn't really focus all that well on high quality. But
see, I always liked the Ferrari. Was it the 330, the one they brought out?
Oh, yeah.
That's car porn. That car's beautiful.
Jim, I not only like the way, not only I like driving them and the way they look and everything else, but I'm a noise guy. And there is nothing better to a car guy to listen to the music that a Ferrari Enzo makes or a LaFerrari makes or a 288 GTO or whatever. I mean, the sound those cars make is just the best music I think a car guy can hear.
I make my wife nuts every year, the day before Le Mans. I will get the movie out. I've got it on digital now, and I will go in the den, shut the doors, and turn it up to about 100, and just watch the first 10 minutes and how they captured all those notes that you're just talking about so eloquently, Ken. And that is the greatest 10 minutes of racing I've ever seen in a movie, and it just gets you so pumped up for it.
Yeah, no, I'm very, very fortunate because my wife likes the noise as much as I do. So, I'm a noise guy. That's why I have such a hard time getting my arms around these electric cars. They're going to have to do something more for me. Because I love the noise. I really do.
I had the Shelby, I had the honor of driving the 350 for a week last fall. And I kept catching myself down. I kept downshifting constantly to get that pop. You have to.
Oh yeah. No, I know.
The only problem is you go from like 40 to 60 when you do that. So
I've got one of those new SSs that they built, the last ones for Holden out of Australia.
Oh.
And, you know, it's a four-door little sedan rocket. And the first thing I did was put headers and exhaust on it. And, oh, my gosh. I mean, the car is fun anyway. And it sounded pretty good as it was. But that thing just really makes some great music when you're driving it.
Do you notice, because of your expertise, can you tell when someone's done it electronically? Like, you hear some of the, they do some of the electronic baffling to get that exhaust note. Does it sound different to you?
You know, it really doesn't. Maybe I'm just so happy and so enthused because it's making noise. I don't know. But I haven't really been able to do that. I know there was a truck at SEMA, an electric truck that General Motors brought, and it was all electric, but they had put a sound in it like the old car. It sounded like a big block. How they managed to put that all together and make it sound good, I don't know. But I guess if you're going to have an electric car, I'm probably going to have something like that to enjoy it more. So,
we're talking with Ken Langenfelter. And first of all, thank you so much for getting up this morning and doing this. Ken, we do appreciate you, bud.
It's no problem at all. I appreciate you too, Jim. Got to get you out to Cars and Coffee again this summer.
Done. And, you know, the one thing I was thinking about, you just mentioned trucks, and it's funny, so I had written down next. I think we're going to go the route of performance trucks. They're coming back. The old F-150 Lightning and the SS trucks, we're selling how many between the three manufacturers? Almost 2 million trucks a year. You're going to have to go that way to make something different, to all of a sudden take these big block motors that are sitting around, these big powerful motors, and trick out these trucks. Go the performance route.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, our latest product is we took the Colorado and the Canyon and decided that it was just a bit unpowered. It's an amazing truck. General Motors did an amazing job on those trucks. Added a supercharger, got a 50-state legal carb on it, and so our California-tuned car truck makes over 400 horsepower, and the one we can build in Michigan makes 500 horsepower. And so you talk about a great truck, inexpensive, supercharged, that really performs. I think we've got a really, really, really good product to sell this year. So.
Oh, man. All right. Well, we'll be looking for that. I definitely want to see you mess around with some of the, I'd love to see the Silverado, some of the different sport editions, because you're seeing them like they're doing more, but it's paint and, you know, aftermarket stuff like that. But to really get into the performance part of it would be fun.
Stay very closely tuned, Jim. I'll have something very shortly.
Okay.
Can't talk about it completely yet, but we've got something coming.
All right. Yeah. And then are you hoping GM, when they come out with what would be the Z06, if they do the performance version, do you think they'll call it a Zora?
You know, I have heard it referred to enough that I think they just might, and I hope they do, because he deserves a lot of that credit.
Mary Barrow, like when they showed up in New York with it, that was his shadow, his silhouette on the over the door, wasn't it?
You know, I don't remember that, but I hope it was, because it sounds like a really cool idea.
Now, do you think enough people will get it, or it's just so cool sounding that they'll do the research?
Oh, gosh, I don't know, but I'll tell you. I mean, Zora, we've got his mule car in the collection. I think you know that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole essence around that guy, his focus on racing, kind of ignoring some of the guys in the top office to get his way and everything else. I'd like to see him celebrated more than he is. So
last question for you, Ken. And I was thinking about this one. With all this stuff with the bullet and all the cars and what you get to see, if you could have lunch with somebody in the auto industry, living or past or gone, who would it be?
Mm-hmm. Roger Penske.
Really?
And because I got to tell you, I have such respect for that guy. You know, watching him do things and make things happen, and I'm tickled pink he now owns Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
I've had an opportunity to get up and close to a lot of guys. I mean, I've done some shows with Jay Leno. These are all really, really, really nice, very sincere car people. But, I mean, Roger has just, I think, for what he's done to Detroit, with Detroit and the help and his graciousness and everything, you know, I bump into him at events and I see him, but I'd really just love to get a chance to tell him to his face what a great man I think he really is.
Great answer. I keep thinking Phil Remington.
Yeah, that's a good one, too. Yep.
I don't understand the scope of what he did. But the more I read and learn about Shelby and what they really did out there, none of it would have happened without him.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Yeah, it's amazing. Cool. All right, buddy. Ken Langenfelter. Now, if folks want information about the collection or what's the best way for them to go?
Just go to Langenfelter.com. It'll talk about open houses we do. We'll have another one in the spring, probably late April. And, of course, Cars and Coffee through the summer at our Wixom location. And all the products we've got, if you look at the website and page down a little bit, there's a picture of me leaning against the car. If you hit that button, it'll give you a 30-second tour of the car collection and then also some video from one of our charity events. So
yeah, man. Well, we will definitely get out there. If I bring my pickup truck, as long as I wash it, I can bring it out to Cars and Coffee, right?
Jim, you can bring anything you want. I'd just like you to come by again. I always enjoy visiting with you.
Done deal. We'll get it done. Ken Langenfelter, it was great talking with you.
You too, buddy. Take care.
All right, be well.
Bye.
There he goes, Ken Langenfelter. All right. If you're not in the Detroit area, even people who live in the Detroit area, here's thinking about Ken's collection. It's one of the top five private collections in the world. He has this row of Ferraris with Enzos and LaFerraris. And as you heard, just the most gracious guy. Just the most gracious guy. Thanks for listening. It's always fun. Boy, we are getting into the busy season, man. It's ramping up. Let me see. We got Daytona in about a month. Gotta call Matt Yoakam. See if we can get him on. Maybe he could squeeze a Harvick to get on here. So, Jimmy Johnson's final year in NASCAR, too. I know a lot of stuff going through my head this morning as we record this, but we're all good. All right, Big Jim's Garage here, man. You can follow me on Twitter at WCSXJim. Email BigJim@WCSX.com. Also, B-Pod Studios, you can follow along. Make sure you subscribe to check out the podcast. Kind of go back and check out some of the other things, too. You know who I haven't talked to in a while is Bill Goldberg. We should get him on. I know he was doing all those holiday things. So, lots going on. You guys, be well. Enjoy the day. Take a deep breath.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.